Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I got one here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words "Jesus saves" written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That's amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio episode 1513. This is your host, Danny Pena, and joining me, the one, the only, and always on tour. Forward, around the world, make sure to follow him. His next adventures, Mr. Peter Toledo. What's up, Pete?
What's up, dude? How you doing? What's up, everybody?
How you doing, man?
I'm all right.
How's you been chilling this week? No traveling.
Traveling, no actually, surprisingly enough, for my job has slowed to a crawl considerably for like the last 8 months.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yes, I was fortunate enough to go visit you guys earlier this year.
That was fun.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun, and hopefully that happens again coming soon. I think I might have some travel upcoming in the next week or two, but that's more in this area / time zone part of the country. Flights is getting expensive, man. I'm trying to book... I got my 20-year anniversary with my wife coming up, trying to book travel, but I don't want to book far travel because them fuel price streets is expensive.
Oh, it's getting pricey. I have a trip that I have to go to Dominican Republic in June. Big shout out to the director and the filmmakers of Power Games. It's like a video game documentary about Dominican creators and developers from the gaming industry that's gonna be part of it. I'm part of it too, so MenRD is in it. It's like a bunch of folks, so we're going to a premiere in June, and then they're gonna have like an award show over there, so that's gonna be fun. That's gonna be a lot of fun. So, and yeah, so next week I'm going to be in Las Vegas. I'm going to be speaking at an event. So most likely I'm probably going to be recording ahead. So be on the lookout for that. I have no idea what yet. There's some stuff I might be able to talk about during that time. We'll see. Stay tuned. We do have one question that we have. I think Keon, he's always sending this question. He sent us a question here that's really, really cool. But I know there's people that are watching right now live. We would love to do a all Fanmo episode. So if you have questions, doesn't matter if you're watching us on Twitch, X, or YouTube, send it over here under the comment section, and we'll read it and try our best to answer it. All right. So
within reason.
Okay.
Within reason, right? Don't get ridiculous or stupid on the questions, because then we're not going to answer those, right?
So yeah, we're not going to answer those. But give us some time. But yeah, send us your questions, guys. Send us your questions. All right. It's time for Fan Mail. You know what? I have to say, that is the most professional sound bit.
That beat is dope.
That is pretty dope.
Right? Who was that?
That was from when we were at Play That It. That's when we were at Play That It. Yeah, that's CBS Podcast Network years ago. Man, let me tell you, we had a lot of fun recording in that studio. That was a lot of fun.
Yep, a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun. All right, so we have the first question. This is a pretty good one. I think this is a great way to start the show. And this is from Keon. Again, guys, we love doing fan mail. The more questions you ask, not only in this episode, but also future episodes, we're going to create better content, unique content also, because you guys have like some great questions that usually a lot of podcasts don't talk about. So make sure to send it in. All right, so here goes. This is the first question from Keon. Here we go. All right, thank you to Keon for sending us that great, great question. I think that's an awesome way to start the show. Is it live service game PlayStation Kryptonite? Here's the thing. I'm enjoying Marathon. I don't know about you, Pete, but I'm loving the game. Yes. Is it the numbers like high like other live service games? I don't think so. I see that people still playing it on console and PC. I'm having a good time. But there's games like Concord and there's other ones that just disappeared because the support wasn't there at all. I don't know. Do you think it is PlayStation's Kryptonite when it comes to that live service games? I'm kind of on the fence on this one because I think they shouldn't stop. PlayStation should continue to create live service games because that's something where they've been lacking for years, which the company's been doing great when it comes to single player games, right? But where's the multiplayer games? Where's the live service games, you know? And they've been trying, you know, taking risk. Your thoughts?
So the short answer, I mean, it's definitely seems like a weakness for Sony in general, right? Especially this generation, right? It's not that Sony can't make games. You know, we've seen them do commercial successes one after another, whether it be, you know, The Last of Us going all the way to the Ghost of Tsushima series, etc. Premium single player cinematic style games. That's their bread and butter. But it does seem like they've kind of hit a wall when it comes to live service style games. And it's not for lack of trying. It's not for lack of attempts or studios. But it does seem that this is a pattern that we're starting to see. And it's one of the main reasons, I think, why Sony bought Bungie back in 22. Now, like, if you take a look at the ones that have failed or fallen or allegedly, you know, not hit the level that they've, you know, put a level of expectation or bar for themselves. Last of Us Online canceled. Even with years of development with Naughty Dog, you still had a lot of problems. Concord, not gonna say less.
That was a quick one. That was a quick one, yeah.
Pulled from sale. Again, Firewalk is a good studio, but I just don't know if the level of expectation heaped upon the title was worth it for them, or was it the right play for them? Marathon still very early. It's only been a few months, and yes, it's 200 million or whatever the number was for the budget or whatever. It was their first big title after the purchase or after the acquisition by Sony. Let's just be frank. Extraction shooters are very niche and volatile, right? Unless you're one of the early ones, right? Unless you were an Escape from Tarkov, you know, everything else is going to be considered a copy. And even if, it's still far from guaranteed as a success. And now, depending on one studio to do it, you know, to justify this entire live service strategy is suspect. Sony just has a really good strategy so far for 5 to 7 year like dev cycles. Like they release, they ship, they move on to the next one. Whereas live service is a completely different monster, right? You've got ship early, ship often, and it's not something that their teams are normally used to, right? You look at like a Naughty Dog, Insomniac, Guerrilla Games, that's not how they function. You can't just tell them to, okay, stop what you're doing, pivot, excuse me, and now go be like Fortnite, right? It's just not going to happen. But then you look at what the games that they do that do work, God of War, Spider-Man, the Horizon series, those sell titles and most importantly sell consoles. They also review insanely well and they fit Sony's DNA at the end of the day. So it's a catch-22. Do you tell them not to and continue doing what they essentially said a couple of weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
Don't look at live service. We're just going to stick to the single-player cinematic experience and buy our consoles, and that's where you're going to play them. Or do you want them to at least try? Because it's not like they haven't tried. And look, not everyone is going to hit it out of the park first time. And then if you really think about it, if you want to make it an analogy, it's like asking a Michelin chef to run a McDonald's at scale. And it's just not possible, right? It's not incompetence in any way, shape, or form. It's just not a right fit for them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is someone that Roberto is watching on YouTube. He posted this. PlayStation had a lot of live service games in development, but have been canceled. It has never seen the light, which is true. You know which game I think it could be a success if they do this right, if they bring it back, which I doubt is ever going to happen? SOCOM. SOCOM was a lot of fun.
SOCOM was amazing.
I love SOCOM. That game is really good, man. Yeah, but we're not gonna see that.
It's the shooter space. It's very, very difficult to have success in a medium that is oversaturated at this point, right? Between let's just go through my Steam library, right? Where that's
PUBG is still up there, you know.
Hey, they just hit 900,000, you know, consecutive players online just on PC. But I mean, you've got Battlefield, you've got Call of Duty, you know, Insurgency, Arma, Delta Force, Marathon, PUBG, Ready or Not. The list goes on and on. Borderlands. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. How do you compete? How do you drop a title and expect it to be super successful?
It's hard to compete, bro. It's hard to keep it up too. Like it's expensive to keep up a game like live service games. That's expensive, man. You know, and if it's not successful, they're gonna kill it right away. So I mean, Marathon is still playable. Lots of updates. I think because of the buzz and the reviews, it's people slowly buying the game, you know. But here's the thing. If a game from Sony is only available on console, it will flop big time because I think the majority of people support single-player games there. More on the PC side will buy live service games from Sony more than the console side. That's always happens, you know. But all right, you have another question here. This is a great question. Question for the show. Given the rise of Capcom with Resident Evil and Pragmata, by the way, Pragmata is amazing. What other franchise you want them to tackle? Oh, man, I'll tell you right now. Devil May Cry. You got to bring it back. Devil May Cry. It's been a long time. I know they announced Mega Man that comes out next year, I believe, in 2027. But I think Devil May Cry will be a good one. Yeah, that, for me, it will be that game. Do you have a game, Pete?
Well, I swear, if you call me Paris during the show, I'm just going to step out. I'm out. I'm done.
Hey, man, it's hard to keep up. Pete, Paris, Pete, Pat, Pete, it's all peace.
So, I mean, while my brain works on this in the background, let's wonder why it works, right?
Mm.
Combat loop, really, really good. Dope atmosphere. Familiarity and comfort with their engine. So when you think about that, Onimusha.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know another one?
Hold on. You asked me. It's not on you.
Whoa.
Ah! Cool, man. Parasite Eve would be dope. If Square allows it.
Mm-hmm.
Castlevania. That would be.
Isn't that Castlevania? No, that's a Konami game. That's not a Castlevania.
Right. I'm just saying, like, if you want them to remake a game, I mean, yeah, and look, we're in fantasy land, you know, wishful thinking.
Oh, you're talking about in general. I'm talking about Capcom franchise.
What games could they work? Dino Crisis, maybe?
Yeah, Dino Crisis is a good one. That's a good one. Yeah, I don't know. It's been a while. Oh, you know
Silent
what game?
Silent Hill, maybe?
No, that's a Konami game.
I am, but still, you're asking me questions, right? You're asking me what games that they
I know
that
they partner.
Do that are similar that and could they partner? Why not?
Yeah, I know. What's the name of the? I know there's some studios they do a lot of work partner with other studios to work on. I know Bandai have done that multiple times. Couple other ones, but you know what game I think they should bring back, and it's been so long, and I remember in the early days it was announced that they were gonna have like a movie and it never happened. Lost Planet, that's a Capcom game that came out during the 360 era, and it was fun, it was cool, it wasn't like groundbreaking or anything like that, but at that time it was decent, you know. They should bring that back. I think it had multiplayer too, but single player was okay. Okay, let's see if other questions here on
Devil May Cry, maybe?
I did mention Devil May Cry.
I know, but I mean, I just, what made it, what could they do to make it better? I mean, if they made it back with like DMC1 vibes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here's another one from BigGamer90. Big May for a gaming coming up. Biggest May in years, which is very, very true. Very, very true. What May game are you looking forward to the most? Is it Forza Horizon 6, not 5? I know you posted 5, yeah, 6. Lego Batman or something else? For me, Forza Horizon, 100%. I'm curious to play Lego Batman. I'm very, very curious on that game. But Forza Horizon 6 is the game that I am like excited to play because I love the Horizon series. Are you planning to play any of these games, Pete?
I would say Lego Batman has a lot of intrigue for me just because I am a monster Batman fan. But one we didn't mention was 007. If it is,
yeah, I
confirm.
I
don't think it is because I don't recall.
No, it's coming out.
Is it
it's
confirmed
out
in
May?
Confirmed
yeah,
in
it's
May?
Coming out. Yeah, it's coming out in May. It's coming out in May. I know you don't keep up the news like before, but
I'm just trying to remember because I haven't really. But I mean, if there's one, especially one that fits closer to my heart, it's gotta be 007. And I did mention this earlier in the year about games that I was hype and looking forward to later on this year. So I'm sticking to my guns and 007. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one. Also, B Gamer says, I really wish it would have kept building up SOCOM. Loved it during the PlayStation 2 era. Damn, I forgot it was in the PlayStation 2 era. Yeah, you're right. But the PS3
the
hack
Plus
came.
Also.
Yeah, came during the PlayStation 3 SOCOM release and caused tons of damage. Yeah, man. I remember that day Portal 2 was coming out, and that was the first time that you could log in using your Steam account to the place through your PlayStation. I remember. And then the whole thing happened, and yeah, that wasn't good at all. Not good at all. If Kojima announced a live service game for PlayStation, would that succeed? I don't know. Now, if it's multi-platform, maybe. If it's just strictly console, I don't think so. It has to be multi-platform.
It would sell giga units at launch and fail 90 days later. But look, we started the show with this exact same thing. Not because Hideo Kojima lacks talent or the skills to write a successful game. It's that live service games punish the exact things that he's known for. Right? Mm-hmm. So he's, you know, elite at that singular vision style game, slow burn, you know, weird, memorable mechanics. Mm-hmm. Just look at everything he's ever released, right? Death Stranding, you know, MGS5. But that's what he needs to succeed, or that's everything that he's done that has succeeded. But then after 90 days, the big question, where's the new content? What's the end game loop? Why is it so weird?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just he designs experiences, not treadmills. And that's exactly what a live service game is.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know. Look, much respect to Kojima. I would love to interview him one day, but it is going to be kind of hard. I think he should stick with single player games because him and his team, amazing when it comes to that. All right, here's another thing that I want to show you before I read the other questions. Stay tuned later this week on Gamertag Radio. I have a review coming up, and actually I'm going to record it with Tony Polanco. Shout out to him from Thriller. I'll make sure to subscribe to his show. Jose writes for Tom's Guide. Yes, review of Sorrows for PlayStation 5. The review is going to be out April 24th at 12 a.m. Pacific time. That's April 24th at 12 a.m. Pacific time. That's all I will say.
Thank you.
All right, so we have another question. This is a good one, Pete. How are you guys at events? If random people see you and come up to you, will you give them the time of day? It depends how you come up. It all depends on that. We've been to multiple events and we've seen tons of people that either listen to our show or know us all the time. I mean, Pete, the last event, was it E3 2019 was for you? The last event that you attended? And throughout the years, we always see people at events, you know, and we were cool, like just talk to them and everything like that. But if you come in with this like attitude or something, I will not even bother. I just keep it moving, you know, but usually that never happens for me. How about you, Pete?
I mean, look, we've brought in random people into our interviews at Microsoft at E3. Perfect example. Yeah, when I saw this question pop up in the chat early on, that was the first thing that popped into our head, right?
Yeah.
Us sitting, waiting in line. I forgot. I don't know. I can't remember if we were going in to go for something at E3 or we were waiting in line for an interview. And you literally just pulled this random kid came in. And you literally pulled him into our meeting. Look, at the end of the day, just because we have an internet show or we're on Twitch or we're on whatever, doesn't mean that we're any other different from anybody else, right? You come up, you say, what's up? I'm going to say, what's up? Give you daps, and then what's up? But like Danny said, you come in hot or with an attitude, like one of these anime icons from Twitter.
Oh, no.
The energy is going to be reciprocated. And that's just as real as it gets, you know. That's just keeping it a buck for everybody. But yeah, I mean, look, I'm no different than you, man. I put my socks on one at a time, put my shoes on same way. We're no different than anybody else just because we've got a Twitter, Discord, Twitch thing.
Yeah.
This is all secondary, dude. We're just normal people, man.
Mm-hmm. You're 100%. By the way, I know Rihanna been hitting me up on WhatsApp questions. I see the questions. I was just going one by one. So I see the questions.
Well, no, you know why she does that? It's because she knows you. You don't multitask very well.
So. No, the thing is, I have three different pages, multiple pages open. X, YouTube,
you got
Twitch,
that 96-inch monitor. You can't put them all in separate things?
No, I do. But when it comes to Riverside, I like to have it like at least half of the, you know, half of the screen of the monitor. All right, I really didn't want to answer this question, but you know what? She sent it, so I'll read it because I feel like this has been going on for so long. I'm kind of like over it. But she asked, this shout out to Rihanna. She asked, "What is your advice to people who want to start in gaming right now, despite the layoffs and low morale?" I think you should still go for it, man. Yeah, I think the industry overall, we're gonna find out. We're gonna figure it out either way. I know that it's been a couple years has just been difficult for a lot of people. I think you still go for it because here's the thing. You could be the one that can make that change and make the industry even better. And the reason why I say that is because in the 80s there was the video game crash. This is during the time it was like Atari took over and all this nonsense back in the days. But when Nintendo came, and started releasing the first console, the first NES console, it completely changed the industry, and the industry came back. Again, they figured it out back in those days. I think it's going to be the same with what's happening now with the gaming industry, where there's a lot of layoffs. But remember, a lot of those people, they either left or got laid off from a company. Now they're starting their own studio. Some funding themselves, some they'll get an investor and so on, and hire people to create different projects. And you could be the one that changed the industry and make it even better. So I wouldn't say to give up or stop, you know, because we still need people like you to make that change. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I see things. I don't know if you agree with it or you have a different opinion about that, Pete, but.
Look, it's still a very, very hot industry to get into, but. Mm-hmm. Go in with a kind of like a toned down expectation, right? Don't come in expecting 2018. That's I don't think we're going to see that for a while again. Right now, the industry in itself is just, it's contracting, it's risk averse, so it's mm-hmm. it's very volatile, right? And we see it in I don't want to say quarterly streams, but it's like three times a year where you see games get successful, and then we hear Studio X or Publisher X is dropping, you know, a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I mean, and it's, look, it's not even in games, right? It's just technology in general. Like Oracle just dropped 30,000 people off of their payroll globally, right? As the direction shifts from a business perspective, companies are trying to pivot. Hell, mm-hmm. we just saw a shoe company pivot to an AI model like just last week, right? I forgot, Allbirds or something like that was a shoe company.
No, I didn't know that.
They pivoted to AI.
I didn't know.
Like,
yeah,
think about that. Like, how do you pivot from shoes to AI? Like, how is that your business model? I know it's not what you asked, but be realistic in your expectations. I would say if you're going to come in, have a portfolio that's playable in 3 minutes. Nobody's going to read a PDF, much less like pay attention to that. Mm-hmm. I'd say learn the tools that studios are desperate for, whether it be Unreal, Perforce, things like that. Python, obviously. Maybe expect contract work first. Don't expect to be dropped into a quadruple or quadruple A title day one.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, if that's what I'd say. I mean, if this is what you want, jump in feet first, but be realistic about your expectations.
Agreed. Another question. This is on YouTube. Pete, what games have you gotten to enjoy together with your kids, like actually playing together and bonding over it? Danny, if your kids turn into a gamer, what game memory will you create? Man. Recreate.
My kids been out the house for years, so I don't play games with them anymore.
Yeah, they've been gone. They're like in their 20s now.
I mean, hell, my daughter turns 23 later this year.
That is wild. That is
my son
wild.
Turns 28 in October. So, I mean.
That is wild.
I mean, if.
For different reasons, but.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Look, games that I've played in the past that it was just me and him, or games that, like, Rayman Legends is a game that first comes to mind that mm-hmm. we would all play in the couch, literally, like, swapping, just handing over the controller. Like, all right, you get one run, you die, you mm-hmm. hand over the controller, you know, and it was something that, like, it would be me, my wife, my son, and my daughter all on the couch, and it would be a whole night of just us playing Rayman Legends. Great. Memory for me. If it's just me and my son, we would play very similarly on games like Assassin's Creed or whatnot, where it would, you get one run, I get one run, and we just go back and forth. Whether I went on PC or he was on, or we were on Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
Games that we played together, and it's something we still regularly do, would be like Halo and running through them online. In co-op setting, that's something that we do rather, you know, we're going to pick a skull and turn it on and then just see how well we can do on insanity or whatever. For my daughter, it's a little more toned down, I guess, earlier on, because she doesn't really play games as much now these days. I mean, it was Overwatch. Her and I will play together.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And she was really, really good at it.
That's so.
But I mean, yeah, that's what I would say for me. Those are the games that I remember playing with my kids. Guitar Hero and Rock Band. That's a perfect one, right? You know, because Danny and Mandy and all of them, they would come over to the house and we would have nights of just all of us doing that. And I still joke around and I've got little stickers on WhatsApp that I send in the group chat, you know, with my daughter, of her with the microphone and everything. So I those are the games that I would say for me, like, are, I guess you can call them core memories as a parent for having those.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun getting to go to your house. We'll get drinks, pizza, and all this stuff. Like, hey, let's play some Rock Band. Now, I remember even DJ Hero. I used to go to your house a lot to play that.
Yeah, yeah. DJ Hero was fun, but, like, it's one person. You can't really – you're not really co-oping as much, whereas with Rock Band or Guitar Hero, that, you know, that opened it up for a lot more, right, and being able to do a lot more. Mm-hmm. Hell, we had a Miami newspaper come over when all of us were there playing. Mm-hmm. And we got covered in the newspaper. So it was, that's another one that I would say.
I miss that era, man.
I miss that era, right? The games were great, but the era was so much more fun. Engaging as a group because, it was, you know, hell. I mean, we had my teammates from my gaming squad from, like, New Jersey and Seattle and everywhere in between flew down. That was for community vibes.
Our party.
And it's on YouTube, but it was there. It was us, you know, playing Rock Band at 3:34 in the morning, all of us. And it's just, that whole era was so much fun.
Yeah. And then taking the Mandy to the airport early in the morning. I remember that.
I don't.
That was a lot of fun.
I think I went to sleep. Yeah. I was asleep at that time. It was like 5 or 6 in the morning. But yeah.
Now, you know, my daughter, she's 2.5 right now. And the first time that, because here's what happened last year. Was it last year or 2 years ago? I'm trying to remember. Rihanna had to go to, I think it was PAX East. Yeah. So she went to PAX East, and I stayed with our baby. And at that time, I got the review code for Astrobot. And I'm like, how am I going to play? You know, I have to take care of a baby, Violet, and everything, right? And I'm like, let me try it on and just play and see. And Violet was quiet. And just because the game is very colorful, and she loved the sounds of Astrobot, right? So she would just look at the TV, just enjoying me playing, you know, and sometimes she'll, you know, sit in front of me and I'm playing, you know, so I want her to feel like she's also playing. And she really, really enjoyed that, man. That was like so much fun doing that with her. And I managed to beat the game right before we got back from PAX East, and she really, really enjoyed that, man. So another thing too is she knows all the Mario Brother characters. Like, she knows Mario, Luigi. Every time she either sees me playing Mario Kart or any of those Mario games, she knows, oh, look, that's Princess Peach, that's Bowser. Like, she knows, you know? So one day, once she's ready, I want her to grab the controller and just play a Mario game, or I could probably put, like, easy mode while playing Mario Kart, something like that, for her to experience that, get used to that, you know? So, because in the future, I would love for us to play games together, you know? So, I'm excited for that, honestly. I'm very, very excited for that, you know? Because I never had that experience with my mom and my dad. They would just buy me the games, and I'd just play on my own and play with my brothers and sisters and or cousins, that's it, or friends, but never with my parents. But I would love to experience that with our daughter. Let's see. Is there any? I know there's another.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
One more question, I believe. Yeah, let's see. This is McFillin, 44. Do you think you would ever see AAA dev cycles come down? If so, what do you think will be the key to allowing that to happen?
That's a great question.
I think with the success of indie games and AA games, we're probably going to get to see less AAA games in the future. Like look at Exhibition 33. Look at all these indie games that has been successful and they've been on the top of the Steam charts. I think that helps. And I also feel like companies are going to, especially studios and publishers, are going to take less risk on investing more money on AAA games. We're going to get to see less of that. And honestly, a game doesn't have to be long, man, to be successful. It doesn't have to be like 100 hours. It's okay to have a game like Resident Evil that's like 12, 15 hours. I think that's fine. You know, Pragmata, for example, for me, it took me like 12.5 hours to finish it, but I wanted more content. So there was so much side quests and I did 100% on just the campaign. Now there's an additional 10 hours, I believe, of other stuff that you could do in the game that to unlock. So like that part doesn't matter. I think having a game like Elden Ring that get just long, it's, come on, we should have like less of that, you know what I'm saying? So what about you, Pete? Any answers on that?
I think so, but I don't think it's a matter of if, right? I just think the 6 to 8 year dev cycle is potentially unstable, right? At least financially, right? It's risky from a creative perspective, and I think the industry is already starting to feel that pain. I think it would be really cool if we started seeing teams or seeing developers stop building new tech for every game. And if we keep it on the Capcom conversation, they've been using the RE engine now for how many games? 4, 5 maybe?
It's been a couple, yeah.
Yeah, so like instead of reinventing the wheel, just use what you have that we already know it works, right? And you keep that engine continuity across multiple projects, right? You don't have to have, and you get a little bit more flexibility because you have people that can jump from one project to another. They don't have to learn a whole new engine. I think like a little bit further to what you were talking about, the 80-120 hour open world game is starting to die out as well, it seems. Assets just become so much more difficult to keep, create, maintain. It makes QA scope exponentially larger, and especially in an industry where scope creep is massive, and you know, having teams work for so much more longer, especially when it gets closer and closer to launch time. It's just shorter, tighter games just means fewer environments, fewer assets, and just faster iteration, right? Hell, you just talked about like you had a, you know, everybody's talked about having a blast with Pragmata, and you know, hell, I'll take 20 to 30 hours of amazing gameplay versus 100 like softly like couch cushion padded games. Not as comfortable. Like, fine, you get a lot more game out of it, but if it's a lot of reused, rehashed, you know, game loops, I don't want that.
We don't got time for that, man. That's the thing, too. We don't got time.
No. I mean,
especially now with all us being super busy with things. Like, it's just too much, man. Now, I'll play and talk about it, but
of course.
I'm not gonna like spend 100-something hours. Like, that's crazy. Unless I really enjoy the game, then, you know, like, for example, I think with Marathon, I think it's like 60-something hours, because I play a little bit per day, a little bit here and there. Like, for you, Pete, playing Destiny, how many hours do you have on that? You know, Destiny 2, let's say, for example.
Destiny,
like, you
have, is not even close to what I have in PUBG.
I know. Well, PUBG, honestly, you have way more, yeah.
PUBG.
Yeah. Actually, I want to see how many hours you have on that. How many hours you have on that one. By the way, Get Pragmata, it doesn't matter which console, even for the Switch 2, the game is amazing. Actually, that's when I played Pragmata for the first time, was for the Switch 2 at an event. And I was like, yo, this game is sick. And I got the PC version.
And look, I haven't played much PUBG in the last 2 weeks. It's been a lot of just spending more time with me and my wife on the couch or out with friends. And I've got 5,200 hours.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Okay, it's a lot. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, let's look at the storyboard of how games are going over like the last few years, and mm-hmm. what will a AAA, you know, quadruple A game look like in 5 to 8 years, instead of like a 7-year big super massive game launch and team burnout. You'll see smaller dev life cycles, I think. Mm-hmm. Like 3 to 4 years, a tight game. Perfect example. And it's a team that basically doesn't miss. Insomniac.
Spider-Man. Oh, yeah.
Miles Morales. Spider-Man 2. Shared foundation. Same engine. Phenomenal game experiences. And you get one every 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. And it works, right?
It works, yep. Mm-hmm.
It's just, the bottom line is dev cycles come down when reuse the engine, reuse the world. It kills the bloat. Mm-hmm. And you validate the fun early at the end of the day, right? And Insomniac's perfect example of that, because you don't have to rebuild. Although, in a similar light, we can kind of say that Ubisoft kind of has done that with the Division, keeping with New York, Washington, going back and forth, same engine. How successful has it been? Is it on the same par as a Spider-Man? I'd probably say not. Mm-hmm. But,
well, it's a known IP. Spider-Man is a known IP, then.
Of course. You're leveraging Spider-Man from, you know, 100 years of being around. Mm-hmm. But you see that same chronological line of success, right? Same engine, same environments. You don't have to rebuild the wheel every single time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I know somebody posted this here. I mean, it's the other way around with dev cycles. With AI, yes, I would say AA will turn out AAA quality because of AI.
Yeah, but quality is subjective, right? Some people may or may not like that. Because if it's based on, if we use my same little lineup here of success, the only time where AI maybe helps is during asset development or reuse. But
yeah,
AI is not gonna handle or be successful in the writing part of it, I don't think.
I don't, 100% no. And here's the thing, like, okay, see, that's a tool, but to replace people, that's something that I am not supporting at all. I mean, look, all these layoffs is because of AI, because of that. I mean, there's other reasons too, like money and whatever. But, you know, companies are trying to do that. But look at the quality is not going to be the same, man. It's not going to be the same, you know? So, oh, by the way, I know Big Gamer mentioned I got Mouse PI and still haven't played it. But look, I got this Mouse PI shirt. Game is dope. Game is really, really dope. I personally think Pragmata is contender for Game of the Year for me so far. That game is sick. That game is sick. Make sure to check that out. Let's see. There's any other questions? Let's see. Or I think we're done.
I think we're done.
Yeah. Shout out to Tanya. She said AI is destroying the industry. 100%. Look, I think right now is this whole trending thing. Like, oh, let's go after what everybody else is doing. But here's the thing: what's going to happen? you know, all these gaming companies going after that for AI, they're going to see the decline of sales and all this stuff because of those changes, and they're going to go back how it used to be. That's what's going to happen. So right now, that's the trend right now, but it's not going to last that long. A lot of companies are just losing a lot of money because of that, man. You know, so that's how I see it. Melvin, thank you for the raid. One person. Hey, thank you, man. Shout out to you, man. Hey, one is one. That's how I see it. That's how I see it. Yeah. P, you're muted.
No, I was just, AI should be illegal. I wouldn't go that far.
I wouldn't go that far.
It has some useful purposes, but as far as illegal,
nah,
that's
it. But here, I mean, here's the thing. See it as a tool, not to replace a human being. Like, it's not, that's crazy. That's how I see it. You know, I think a lot of companies are thinking that they're going to save a lot of money because of this, and because they're replacing it, and it's not working because it's not the same, man. It's not the same at all. You know, I know there's billionaires out there that trying to create a studio 100% AI game studio. That's not going to be successful at all. That's not going to work. I'm telling you right now, that's not going to work. Not going to work. That is crazy. And shout out to Paris. He's probably somewhere out there. He says, GTR sucks. Well, thank you, Paris. I hope you get stuck over in Tokyo. They'll come back.
I wouldn't mind being stuck in Tokyo.
Yeah, you know what?
I can think of worse places to be stuck.
I'll probably do the same. I'll probably stay with it and not come back.
Exactly. Exactly.
That sounds, everybody's like, yeah, that sounds fun. Of course, it sounds fun.
Yeah, I'm in.
You know,
I'm in.
Because you know why? Because I'm a nice guy. I want Paris to succeed and have a great time. That's why I said to stay over there and not come back. Yeah, that's the truth. Anything else, Pete? Anything else before we wrap it up?
No.
Yeah?
I'm good.
Yeah. Good. It's all good.
We ended just because it was just Paris just now showed up.
Oh, yeah. It's like, all right, everyone, we're going to end the show. Paris is here. Booty-doo. All right, everyone, thank you for watching GTR and also sending us some questions. Fan mail, strictly fan mail. Here's the thing. I'm trying to do different stuff, to have different conversations, because I feel like too many of us are doing the same, like talking about the same topics. And it's good to have questions from the listeners, different questions that typically a lot of people are not talking about. I think it will help us to keep it more entertained and so on. Review is coming out this week of Sorrows. I have a couple of things coming up in the future. There's one thing that I've been working on for a long time that I'm just waiting for the day. We're like, hey, it's time. Let's do it. So I could finally record it and talk about it over here at GTR. I'm excited for that. We'll see. But besides that, we're going to be out. And for those who are watching, we'll have a short after show here. And we're out. Until next time. Peace.
Yeah, that was cool. That was cool, Pete.
I thought it was going to be a very short show. Look, it's like an hour almost.
There you go.
It happens every time, man. Because we could talk our butt off. We could talk here. Helldivers 2 isn't a failure. It's not a failure.
I don't think MLB. I don't know.
Who's
saying Helldivers 2 is a failure, though?
Nobody said that Helldivers 2 is a failure. Actually, it's been doing pretty good also on Xbox and on PC. PC. So, like, that game is not a failure. Gran Turismo, I think there's an audience for that. For sure. I think it's not the same how it used to be with Gran Turismo. But there's an audience. Sports games is pretty hard. I know you mentioned MLB. It's hard. It's hard, man. I think a lot of people moved on from sports games, man.
That's hard to say. Helldivers 2 is not a failure, man. 20 million copies is not a failure. Sorry.
It's not a failure. Not a failure at all. I think unless you're like NBA 2K, that's a different conversation. But MLB The Show.
Yeah, especially and that was a game that launched at a half price sticker price, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Look at that. Big Gamer says, Helldivers 2 is doing better than Halo on Xbox. I 100% agree. Mm-hmm. 100% agree on that. Now, yes, now. Yes. I know this, Zampao, I know this is the after show, but have you been starstruck doing an interview? Nah. I have. Have you, Pete? I haven't.
Probably. I think so. I'm fairly certain I have.
Yeah. I think if I ever, ever interview Miyamoto, I think that will be the only time I'll probably be like starstruck. Like, I'm like, man, I'm nervous. I think that's the only time. But everybody else, I've been cool about it. Like,
Aisha Tyler. Even,
who?
Aisha Tyler.
Paris, yeah. Well, he said, yeah, yo. I forgot about that. Yeah, yo. Yeah.
That was crazy. You guys were doing an interview, and I was just like, all right, I'm going to be useless on this one. I'm just going to take pictures.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because I saw her at a podcast event. When was it? I think it was like a couple months after E3. And she remembered me. Yo, we were just talking about games. And I was walking to her to the elevator because a lot of people were like trying to stop her. And the podcast movement team, they're like, hey, Danny, can you help us? Because you really know her. I'm like, yeah, sure. Yo, we were just talking about games. She's asking me, hey, Danny, so what is it you're playing now? And I'm like, oh, at that time, I don't remember what the hell we were playing. But yo, we were just talking. And it talked about E3, her experience at going to E3 and hosting Ubisoft, because she used to host a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of Ubisoft. Rihanna says, I was starstruck during Danny's Keanu Reeves interview from over the next room. Yes. So on that one, that is funny. That one, it was still considered the pandemic and all that, right? So I was in our bedroom recording my interview with Keanu, and Ree was outside having a meeting, because this is during the time we used to work at G4, and she could hear me asking questions to Keanu. She's like, oh my God, I'm so nervous with Danny. I'm like, oh my God. Was I nervous with interviewing Reggie? Nah, I was never nervous with Reggie. I don't think so. Or even with Phil, I was never nervous with them at all. I'm trying to think. Have I ever been nervous with anyone? Nah, man. I can't even think of anybody that's been nervous.
Danny Trejo?
No. I was never. No.
And that was purely on camera. Those were like way early days. Like,
oh, Skype.
Just Skype calls. Yeah. Skype like even calls. Those. But even then, it was just like, you know, I'm talking to somebody who actually, you know, Paul Oakenfold. That was for.
Oh my God. I forgot about that. Well, but we never interviewed Paul.
No, it's we just almost the, it did. Was the lead up. It was the lead up. So, so this is going back like 15 plus years. We were doing the 007.
Born Conspiracy.
Born Conspiracy coverage. He had just done the soundtrack for the game.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, me being in dance music for a long part of my, you know, my time on this earth, right, since like 93, 92, Paul Oakenfold is a legend in dance music. And we were at an event, Miami Beach, got to play the game, and then we were supposed to meet with Paul Oakenfold to do an interview. And I'm like, my heart's just beating, like knowing I'm about to meet one of my legends, one of my biggest, I was a massive fan of him. Mm-hmm. And then it didn't happen, right, for whatever reason. And
he was right in front of us too. We were right here. I remember.
It was just like. So yeah, that's one that I was jealous about. Funny, I was slightly. Going into the interview, jealous with what's his name from Little Brother, Big Pooh, with Big Pooh. Rapper Big Pooh. But then 5 minutes into the interview, it was just like we were just talking to one of the boys, and it was just super cool. I still chat with him every once in a while.
Yeah, I still talk to Fonte.
Yeah,
this is a pretty good question. I think I never talk about this. John Wick 3000, have any of you not liked someone you interviewed? No need to name names. Not liked? I could tell you I didn't like the interview, how it came out. Mm. That, but like, I never had issues with people that I interviewed. I think an interview I didn't like, and I'm not going to mention the name of the company or anything like that. It was like one of the E3s. I went because I was like, you know what? This is an interesting game. is not for me, but I know there's an audience for it. Let me just interview this person about this game. And the person that was into, I think he was that medium trained, and he was just like super nervous, like not really answering the questions. I'm like, I hate this, man. So that's one. There was another one, and this was like E3. This is another one of E3 2008. It's a well-known franchise, Pirates probably knows what I'm talking about. A very well-known franchise. And when I did the interview, the person didn't want to say anything about the game. I'm like, yo, what is the purpose of you doing this type of interview then? If you can't even talk about the game. Yo, it was like, yes, no. It was like the most shortest answer ever in an interview. I'm like, yo, this was not worth it, man, my time. Hi, Bea. It was not worth it, bro. And I didn't like that at all. I didn't like it. Come, Bea. Come.
Come.
Hey. Hello. You want to say hello? You know, wait, hold up. You want to say hello? Hello. You want to say hi?
What happened?
Oh, she's pretending to be a dog? Okay. Hi, doggy. Hi, doggy. You going to mama? Say hi. Say hello. Peace. Gracias. Peace. You almost there. Look. She's almost there. There you go.
Peace. Hey.
But yeah, I didn't like that. I didn't like that that interview at all. It was like super boring. I felt like it was like a waste of time, honestly. That was the only time that I really didn't like that interview. Persons never had an issue with it. Not never with persons. It's always the content for me. Was there anyone like that, P, that you interview, you're like, ugh, this is not good. I wasn't feeling it. Was there anything like that? I'm trying to think. They got to be something. Now, I know there was regrets from Pete where he talked to someone and forgot to press record.
I mean, that was me and Sean.
Yeah, that was a lot.
That one.
Yeah, that was for harmonics, right?
Yeah.
That was for harmonics? Yeah.
But I mean, that was my first on assignment event, right? And the recorder was on the bed in the hotel room four stories up.
Oh my God.
We were just chilling. But as far as someone I just didn't like, besides you on a weekly.
Oh God. Thanks.
Can't really think of anybody. I mean,
now, honestly, this is a great question. And I'll answer this one. So if you don't like a person, you just won't do the interview. I won't do the interview. Here's why. I don't care how big is the title or anything like that. At the end of the day, and Pete knows about this in Paris, like we all agree on this. I feel like when you have a good vibe and you guys are getting along and everything right before or during the interview, like the person you're going to have like a guest, it makes the interview stand out a lot more. The person you're interviewing, they're going to open up. They're going to start seeing a lot more things that they usually don't talk about. You know, like sometimes that helps. I mean, actually, the majority of the time, that helps a lot. If you compare any of the guests that we had on our show to other interviews from the past or during that time too, you could tell that the vibe is different. It's different because, one, we ask different questions that usually people don't talk about. But I think the vibe of the conversation helps a lot, man. So if the vibe is not there, I'd rather not do it. And I don't even care if this person is popular, if the franchise is popular. Like, I will not do the interview, honestly. I'm more of like having a great conversation than going after someone just because it's trending or whatever. You know, that's not my vibe.
Like, opinions have changed on people.
Mm-hmm.
I won't say the name or the title, but I remember having interviews with this one person multiple times, and they said something on video, and then when I used that in a follow-up interview, he wasn't happy or thrilled with me.
Really?
Yeah. And you know, and I I'm not gonna I don't know. I don't even think he's in gaming anymore. But I'm not gonna say his name or whatever. But yeah, I wasn't thrilled with his response back, and I was just like, all right, well, I guess there's nothing else to talk about.
You know what?
I don't even know if we ever released that interview.
Paris mentioned this. I think I've never mentioned about this ever. So, okay. So there was a time where I got approached to interview Randy Pitchfork for one of the Borderlands games. I think it was like the most recent? I can't remember.
It was the most recent one. I'll admit it. I'll say it.
Yeah, it was the most recent.
But I think it's more than that one. It's been several.
Yeah, yeah. And look,
a few times we've said no, thank you.
As in, you know, industry, the stuff that he's done in the industry, respect. Like, it's not nothing against that part. It was just more of the environment that was happening. And the things that he says online, like going after people just because they don't like the game, the review of a game, or like of the game that he worked on, I just didn't really like it. And I was like, let me ask Pete, Paris, and Rihanna, let me ask like their thoughts, because I was like, am I the only one to feel this way? Like, it's weird. And we all agreed that it didn't make sense for us to do the interview. And again, I think it was the right decision. Again, we don't go, here's the thing. We get approached for interviews all the time, all the time. But if we're not feeling it, we're not feeling it. That's how I feel. Like, I think our brand and it's more important than just like, hey, let's go after trending or whatever's hot at the moment. Like, nah, man, I would not do that. And look, this is something I think I have never talked about ever. I'm not going to mention the name, not going to mention the company or anything like that, but there was one time where a well-known company approached me and asked me if I want to meet a certain CEO that was in town for just to get feedback on whatever platform they're working on. I can't say what it is. And I talked to Pete, Paris and Ree about it, and we all agree like it doesn't make any sense for me to go for it, you know, like, because again, we care so much about the brand that it's not about whatever is hot, you get what I'm saying? So yeah, I said no. I said, oh, yeah, Paris knows what he said. He knows what it is. Yeah, it's just, and the reason why like, at that time, and still now, it was just chaotic. Like, the things I was seeing online, it's just not worth it, man. It's not worth it, you know? It's not worth it. Yeah. Yeah. I think we made the right decision, right, Pete? Like, I think so.
Of course.
We're fine. We're still doing this.
I'm a BR.
We're still doing this. Yeah, I'm going to be all right. You know, like, and here's the thing. If I mention the names that people are approaching, we're like, nah, like, we said no, people will be surprised. People will be surprised. I think, and look, even with ads, I'll say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you've been. Remember? You've been very no against certain ads.
Yeah, like, there was one company that were going to pay us pretty good for, like, a company, I think, promoting e-cig or something like that. I can't remember. And, like, drug pills and like stuff like that. And I was like, nah, I'm good, man. I'm not doing that, man. I said no. P said no. Paris said no. Cause we care a lot of like the stuff we want to send it out to our audience. You know what I'm saying? So like, it doesn't make any sense. Sounds spicy. Mad respect. Hey, man. I mean, we never talked about it. There's no need to talk about it, you know, but. Nah, Zampao, I know you said that's why I like Yah instead of something like IGN. You do it because you want to be, not because things are trending. Here's the thing. I would not look, IGN, they're our friends. Like, we have a lot of friends over there at IGN. Like, I wouldn't say that. I don't like comparing to other side. I don't do that. Look, there's people that are just working, man. Like, and we know them and that works at multiple outlets, you know? We're on this together, man. It's not about us being better than another site. It's not even about that, man. Look, other people might say that. Other people might say, like, oh, I got more views than Danny and P in Paris, like, or whatever. Like, they probably will say that. I don't do that. I don't do that. If other people get opportunities for, like, interviews or flying to, I don't know, another country or go to a studio and we don't, it's fine, man. We're still going to be doing our own thing. It's not going to stop me or stop the crew on, like, doing things. You know what I'm saying? That's how I see it. I think we're going to wrap it up.
Yeah. I already got the message from the wife. She's on the way. I got to go make food.
Oh, it's all good. Yeah. Tell her, say what's up. RA1. Thank you so much for the questions, for the support and everything. Make sure to check out the Sorrows review that is coming out later this week. I'm gonna have Tony on the show, so it's gonna be a lot of fun. I love recording with Tony. Yeah. All right, everyone. Until next time. Bye. Peace.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.